say that my we're all you are. Yeah.
You are my mystery.
Nobody but you.
You are my help.
You light up my life, yes you do.
When I think about love,
you make me better than I would have been.
I think about
if I was with you. Yes you do.
You are all my blessing.
I just wanna do the same thing for
my
you.
Spiritual song.
Oh,
it's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Give God some praise in his house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy at the mention of his name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right where you are, as the music plays softly. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you this day for everything that you have chosen to do, both in the seen and unseen realm. God, we thank you because we know you're in charge. And God, I pray right now that you would just bless your people in a special way. Meet them right where their needs are. And begin right there, God, ministering underneath the skin. There are so many people who've come today, and you know the reason for which they have come. Some come with lifted hands and lifted hearts. Total praise and adoration to your name. And oh God, we give you glory for it. But God, there are some who come with bowed down heads and troubled hearts. And we lift them up before you, God. Because we know that you and you only are the God who is able to hear and answer prayer for your children. So for that, we say thank you, God. God, there are others who are betwixt and between. They're not really out, but they're not really in. They're not really up, but they're not really down. God, I would that you would step into their situation. Give them guidance. Give them peace of heart and mind. God, lead them in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And oh God, right now, you said in your word that we ought to pray for our leaders. Lord, I want to pray beginning with the leadership of our country, our president, Barack Obama. God, would you look afresh upon him, upon his family, upon his cabinet, upon all of those things that you've assigned unto his hand for this season, God. We're praying because you told us to pray. And then, God, look upon our governor, Jindal. God, give him the wisdom to lead our state in the way that we ought to go, God. Open up doors, make ways, God. Bless him to give the fruitful leadership that's necessary. And then our mayor, Kip Holden. God, lead him and guide him. You told us to lift up our leadership. So, God, as we lift them up before you, touch their hearts and touch their minds and touch their decisions and let them know mostly they are accountable to you and then the people. Oh, God, we thank you for being God all by yourself. We thank you even for those who are here today and their sickness in their body, that you've given us power over sickness. We thank you even if there are those who may have demonic activity, that you've given us power over demonic activity. We thank you that there may be those who are here poverty stricken, but you've given us power over poverty. So we thank you, God. And whatever the ills and the ails may be, we thank you that you've given us power over all of those such things. And we thank you that we have the victory. So God, touch your people in a special way. Move and minister upon their hearts and thoughts. And God will be ever so careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Now bless your word today. Speak as only you can by your spirit. Minister as only you can by your spirit. Teach your people as only you can by your spirit, and we'll be ever so careful to give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. If you'll turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17. And I want to commence reading at verse 14, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. And I shall commence reading at verse 14, recorded are these words. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, sanctified to serve. Sanctified to serve. One of the things, my brothers and sisters, that we shall see from Scripture is one of the issues that Jesus has with his disciples in this story is that he has sanctified them. He has separated them and set them aside with anointed powers to do the work that they are not doing. He has empowered them. He has given them authority, and he wanted them to operate in his absence in the way that they had been authorized. Let's back up, if you will, because I want you to see in the 10th chapter here how Jesus sanctifies them and consecrates them for service. Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, says this, and when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. But look at again at verse, at the beginning of the verse, it says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. They were called out, they were called up, and they were called to be separated for a work to be done in this earth realm that Jesus would empower them to do, mimicking the works he did in his absence. Now we get to the 17th chapter. And here, Jesus, if you know the story, has gone up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he has been up there with Peter, James, and John, and they are having a wonderful spiritual experience. Now, while Jesus is experiencing this spiritual high, he comes down to the bottom of the mountain right immediately after this high, supernatural high, this God-given high. And then he's faced with a major disappointment about the news of the men he has sanctified to serve. Look, if you will, because when you look at this, he gave them his authority to minister to people, to become the enacting power in his absence to do what he would have done if he were present. But I want to share something with you, my brothers and sisters, because so many of us, like the disciples who have been sanctified to serve, somehow get caught up on side issues. And when we are caught up on side issues, the one mainly being self. See, sometimes we can get so caught up in self and on self that we forget that we've been called to be servants and not celebrities. Sometimes we forget that God has anointed us and appointed us not so that we could be called to special favors and positioned in high places for men to lift us up, but rather to get down in the low places, in the foxholes, in the trench holes, in the everyday holes of life, and lift men up by lifting up the Savior who draws all men and heals all diseases and cures all sickness, and do in the absence of Jesus what he would have done in his presence. We miss it because we get caught up on side issues. Well, you got to know, some of them were upset that he chose Peter, James, and John. Why does he always take them every time there's something supernatural, something that's unusual and different? He takes Peter, James, and John. He could have taken some others, but these were the men who were intimate toward Jesus. These were men who positioned themselves and gave themselves in such a way that they were included in the inner circle of Jesus because they gave more, they extended more, they loved more, they positioned themselves to be affected more by the ministry of Jesus and effectively be used by Jesus. And he could have done the same thing with the others, but he made use of those who extended themselves to him. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, he's no respecter of persons. You want God to use you more? Get closer to him. Extend yourself more to him. Watch him use you more as you make yourself available to him. So now Peter, James, and John are on the mountaintop. This man brings his son, who's a lunatic. Some writer says he has epilepsy. And so he brings him to his disciples, and he says, are you the men of Jesus Christ? And they said, yes, we are. They said, where is Jesus? Well, he's up on the mountain taking care of business. He said, well, that's okay. I've heard you all can heal him. Yes, Lord. He said, yeah, we've been given the power. What's the problem? Well, he's a lunatic. Well, we don't know if we can heal lunatics. Brothers, have y'all ever healed any lunatic? No, we ain't really healed no lunatics. We've healed folk with heartache and high blood and this and that. We ain't really healed nobody. Nobody in the group believed they could do what they had been sanctified, set aside, appointed, and anointed to do. And so listen at this. They didn't even try. Listen at this. Now, here's what you need to realize, my brothers and sisters, because this is not just an indictment against the disciples' faith, but it's an indictment against our faith when we recognize that the power that Jesus has left available for the believer, Mark makes this clear in the last chapter that he writes, is this power is relevant in the lives of the believers, not just the preachers, not just the teachers, not just the disciples, not just the deacons, but for the believer. You'll find out that you've got power to pray for the sick, to lay hands on them. They shall recover, to speak to those demonic spirits, cast them out, on and on and on. Yes. As a believer. So before we become too hard on the disciples, let's realize after we look at them comes a self-investigation. Sanctified to serve. Listen at this, because I want you to see this word again. When we look at this, these men had an issue. And the issue, more than not, was turned inwardly. Some of them wondering why they weren't chosen, why they weren't on the mountaintop, what was taking them so long. Now they had a problem. They couldn't deal with the problem at hand because their minds were up on the mountaintop and on self. So now Jesus comes down off the mountaintop and he's presented with the problem of a father who has come to him. He wasn't present, but the men anointed and appointed couldn't do nothing about what they were supposed to have power to do. Look at what Jesus says. And I want you to see this again. The Bible says, verse 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he fallen into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him, listen at this, to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Verse 17 is where I want you to look at Jesus, because Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. Listen at this. Now, he's calling them faithless. That means that they do not believe. And if they are faithless, they have less than the faith necessary to do what he had already authorized them to do. They were faithless. Less to believe that what he had spoken, he had already authorized. And what he authorized, he was standing behind. What he was standing behind was good as done, but they needed to activate their faith. They were faithless outside of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ because of their selfish desires and focuses when he left them at the bottom and went to the mountaintop and had that experience. They assumed that they couldn't do it because they had never been presented with this challenge before. Now listen to this, because I want you to see this. They were selfish. Mark gives us in the 9th chapter and the 32nd through the 35th verse are some understanding to their selfishness. Because one, we see from Mark's account that they were seeking status in a selfish way and trying to find themselves a place of position and preeminence. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you become so caught up with position, all right, and being the head of this or the leader of that or the president of this or the director of that, if you're more concerned with the position than the functioning and operating of the position, you are in the wrong position. God don't need people who want to be head. God wants people who want to serve. And the one who serves with a heart toward God and the people of God, those are the ones he wants at the head. He wants people who are not concerned with who gets the glory and who gets the credit and who's the one that the people see. He wants people who's concerned with completing the mission, helping the people, delivering and doing what he's assigned them to do. When I tell you, my brothers and sisters, God is more concerned with your part to play, your role to play, and not who sees you play that role. You will get a promotion from God more times than not, more than you even thought, because God wants people who's not caught up on themselves talking about what I've done and since I've been and I. It's about God's grace, God's glory. It's about the goodness that God does through us. These men were arguing who would be the greatest. Who would sit on his right and his left hand? Who would have preeminence when folks say Jesus and his disciples, the next names would be called? Jesus said, no, you're focusing, searching for the wrong thing. You know, just like in our churches, there are some people who won't do anything unless they have a prominent position. They'll cause more ruckus and confusion because they're not the head than to give their expertise and their benefits being in the ministry. I've discovered in every church, and I know this is true of many churches because I have many pastor friends across the nation, and I know they've got members of that church like the Tater family. You do know the Tater family, don't you? I mentioned them when I first came. I recognized some of the folk that were in my old church, and they had some cousins and relatives in this church. You know, the daddy name was Dictator. And he was the one, man, if he couldn't do whatever he wanted to do, if he couldn't rule it, he would try to ruin it. He had to be the one everybody came to. No word was final unless his word was given. You know, dictator. God ain't got no room for folk like that. Had a wife named Hesitator. You know those kind of members, every time it's time to do something, they hesitate. Let's pray about it. You gonna pray the thing to death. God's already given you direction, divine direction. God's already given you a leader and leadership. What you ought to be praying about is getting behind the vision and the mission and moving forward instead of hesitating. Then you got some folk that want to be like the daughter, imitator. You know, they want to imitate every other ministry. They say, well, let's do that like this here. Let me tell you something. God gives the vision of every ministry to the pastor, to the leader. If God didn't give it to me, he doesn't give you the vision to give to me. He doesn't give the vision to you to give to your pastor. If your pastor is there by divine appointment, then he is divinely connected. If he is divinely connected, he will have divine communication. If he has divine communication, then he will be divinely commissioned. If he is divinely commissioned, then he will be able with the anointing of God to carry out the divine assignment. And all you need to do is do your part. Thank God for what he's doing in other ministries, but that might not be where he's causing us to focus at. We can't be imitators of what everybody else is doing. Some of us are like that. Then we got some members who are like the sun spectator. They ain't really in it, but they ain't really out of it. They're members of the church, but not members of the work. They like to see what everybody else is doing and go out there and talk about what our church is doing. Well, what member do you serve in, huh? I'm a member. Like a member is a part of a ministry. Y'all caught that, didn't you? Like a member is a part of a ministry. I'm talking about within the confines of the church. No. You may be a member, but you may not be ministering. I thought y'all get quiet on the spectator part. But you ought to be able, willing to serve and participate where God wants you for his glory and for your and the ministry's good. All they had to do was heal the boy at the bottom of the mountain, and Jesus' celebration could have continued when he came down. But when he came down, he found some people who had been sanctified to serve, not serving. And so what Jesus recognized is that because they were caught up still in self and selfishness, they were seeking status, position, and power, so much so that they became too spiritually strengthless. Spiritually strengthless. Selfishness can make you spiritually strengthless. It'll rob you of your praise. It'll rob you of your power. It'll rob you of your promises. It'll rob you of your position. It'll rob you of your peace. It'll rob you of everything that God has assigned to you when you get caught up on yourself and your selfishness. And so there they were at the bottom of the mountain. They couldn't go up on the mountaintop and couldn't do what they should have done at the bottom of the mountain. And so they are doubly saddened. Saddened because they couldn't rise, and saddened because they did not operate in their calling. Listen at this. So that third thing became a reality. It caused Jesus Christ to have scrutiny of their service. He scrutinized their service. Scrutiny of service becomes, from the Savior, one of the most difficult things to endure. Because he doesn't just look at why you couldn't do it on the surface, but he goes underneath the skin to the real problem. And you know, when you can't really do your part, though you've been sanctified to serve, it ain't really got to do with the problems you present on the outside. God knows that there's something bigger underneath the skin that you're not being real about. And you're becoming so selfish that your issues underneath the skin have robbed you of your spiritual power to do what God has sanctified you to do. See, when you've been sanctified to do it, you got to realize it isn't your power anyhow. And God knew you before he gave you the power. So don't get caught up on yourself and selfishness and start making your issues more pertinent and more prevalent than the purpose for which God gave you the power to do what you do. Listen, he wants you to realize you have been sanctified to serve. Listen, the Lord God drew this man to these disciples because they had power to serve. Now let me help you in real time and in your own life. God has sanctified you to serve. You're going through some stuff. You don't feel worthy to serve. You got your head down. You're crying and complaining about your own situation. And yet God draws somebody to you. You don't think you can help them because you're going through your own mess. Can you stop being selfish long enough to realize God would not have drawn them to you at this time while you're broken, while you're messed up, while you're down on the bottom, to come to you at this time if you still didn't have the anointing to help them? See, you got it twisted and mixed up if you think you can only be a blessing to the kingdom when you think you got it together. Do you know sometimes God uses you better when you are broken down and out and you ain't caught up on yourself and thinking it's all about you, your gift and your ability, when you don't want nobody to see you like this? He sends folk to you like this because they are in the same situation or worse, and they need to see that God can use you in spite of your brokenness, in spite of your disappointments, in spite of your setbacks, in spite of your situation. He can use you.
I hear you.
It'll be at a time when you wish nobody would be around you. It's a time when you're the weakest you feel and there's no good you can do. Matter of fact, it's hard to even get a prayer through. Matter of fact, you don't even feel like praying. I know I ain't talking to nobody here because you ain't been to that spot. But you got to get to the point and place where when God wants to use you, you got to know the devil is going to challenge you and try you. And God will allow him many times to break you so that God can remake you stronger, better, bigger, wiser than you were before your trial. And so he says, you're faithless and perverse.